Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles ready for next day installation and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.
This is your moment, your time to shine, your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career, and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school. You're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Welcome to Stories from the Village of Nothing Much, like easy listening, but for fiction. I'm Catherine Nicolai. I write and read all the stories you'll hear on the Village of Nothing Much. Audio engineering and sound design is by Bob Wittersheim. I know I already said this, but welcome. I'm so glad you're here. I often think of this moment at the top of the show as the part where Mr. Rogers put on his sweater and switched his shoes and says hello. In a bit, we're going to head into the land of make-believe together. Those episodes were wonderful for me as a kid, and looking back at them as an adult, they feel healing, and that is why this podcast exists. I want to give you some place to go, to relax, to daydream, to feel good. I think it's important and that it can be healing. All these stories take place in the same universe, our Village of Nothing Much, and I told them for the first time on my sleep-inducing podcast called Nothing Much Happens. Check that out if you struggle to settle your mind at bedtime. For now, let's head into the village for a few of my favorite stories. First, a couple deep breaths. Inhale through your nose. And then out with a sigh. Yes, one more in. And out. Good. Our stories today highlight some of the loveliest, simple pleasures of the spring. A walk, a road trip, a day in the garden. We'll start with one of my all-time favorite stories, and one that inspired me to write a whole book, coming soon. It's called Old Houses, and if you've ever walked through a neighborhood and wondered about the stories of the houses you see, the people who have lived there, well, it's for you. Then we'll load up the car and head out to the hideaway for some time at the cabin. Finally, we'll gather our trowels and seed packets and pace out the garden in spring at the allotment. Old Houses. On my walk today, I took a turn I hadn't taken before and found myself strolling past old stone houses with wide front porches and side lots devoted to flower gardens. The sidewalks were a bit cracked and uneven, misplaced by the thick roots of trees that must have been planted well over 100 years ago. Do you play this game? Walking in an old neighborhood and imagining a story about the people who've lived in the houses? What they'd gotten up to, who they'd written in their diaries about, and what they'd eaten for breakfast on sunny Saturday mornings. There was a house set well back from the street with a neat green lawn framed by an ornate black iron fence. There were twisty flourishes shaped in the metal where the posts connected to the crossbeams, some like leaves and some like petals. And I thought about how someone had come up with the design and crafted it, and how long it had lasted, and that it was still beautiful. In the side yard of the house was an ancient giant of a tree, an oak who was just beginning to bud as he had done so many springs before. A bedroom window just beside a long, sideways jutting branch was open a few inches, and the curtains inside were shifting a bit with the breeze. I wondered if a few fearless teenagers had found that branch useful over the years for sneaking out late at night, if they'd scraped their hands on the bark as they caught a hold and climbed down until they could drop to their feet, quiet and watching to see if a lamp would come on in the house. And when it didn't, smiling excitedly in the darkness and rushing off to find some adventure. I crossed the street toward a row of peony bushes that wrapped around a corner in front of a house made of dark-aged wood that seemed to be held together by miles of ivy vines, winding around every window frame and climbing endlessly over eaves and dormers and gables. I stopped to squat down by the peonies and look at their shining, dark green leaves and the tightly bundled buds of white and pink petals that were still a ways away from blooming. Tiny black ants crawled over the buds, eating their sweet, waxy nectar. I laughed at myself, remembering a panicky call to my plant-wise mother when I'd found ants on my peonies in my first garden. "What do I do?" I'd asked. "Nothing," she'd laughed. "Nature has it worked out, dear." Sure enough, the flowers had bloomed full and healthy a week or so later, and I'd been reminded about the useful lesson of not fixing what wasn't broken and just generally minding one's own business. Rising from my crouch, I looked back at the house with the ivy. I had a feeling there would be a piano in a house like that. Maybe it was just a touch out of tune, but still had a lovely sound. In its bench were old piano lessons, marked up with notes, dates to have the piece mastered by, and accolades for work well done. I'd had a great-great-uncle who composed a few pieces that had been published in the 20s. I wondered if a few of his old scores were still sitting in piano benches in houses like this, waiting to be played again. On a corner, I looked down and noticed a dull glint at the edge of the sidewalk. I stooped down and saw that it was a penny, planted deep into the cement. I suspected it was a way to mark the date that the concrete had been poured. It was turned face up so that the year showed beside the profile. I rubbed at it for a moment and peered closer. 1921, it said. And it was still here. The street curved ahead of me, and I followed it past more old houses. Some a bit worse for wear, whose lawns had taken over the flower beds, or had a broken window up high in the attic and loose tiles on the roof. I wove a few more stories about them as I walked. This one was the one that all the kids dared each other to approach on Halloween night, with its dark, deep-set doorways and dusty cobwebbed window panes. Across the street, there was a tall Victorian painted in bright shades of yellow and pink, with a small turret on the top floor and windows of stained glass. There were a dozen steps up to the front porch, and each baluster was painted in a complex repeating design. I thought that it must have been the house of a wise old aunt. You'd go for advice, and she'd set you down, and listened to you as she poured tea into matching cups. And after you'd got it all off your chest, she'd quietly sit with you and tilt her head a bit to the side. And you'd realize you already knew just what you needed to do. You'd fly down her front steps, calling your thanks over your shoulder, and rush off to take the job or confess your love or pack your bags. There was a serious-looking house, with sharply trimmed shrubs framing the gardens and dignified urns of flowers and stone pedestals at the front door. But at the edge of the drive, cut into a stone ledge, I found a tiny fairy garden with a miniature house and succulents and very small stepping stones that reminded me of the kind I found by the lake and skipped into the water. I looked back up at the house and gave it a friendly wave that likely no one saw. These old houses held so many secrets and stories, and when you bumped into the small, beautiful details that could easily be missed, it felt like stumbling on a treasure. The twists in the wrought iron fence, the peonies waiting for the ants to finish their meal, the penny turned face up in the sidewalk, the carefully painted balusters, and the space set out for fairies to garden. I felt lucky to have seen them, to have not just rushed past. I'd keep taking new turns on my walks and see what else I could stumble upon.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles ready for next day installation and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.
This is it, your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
At the hideaway. The car was packed. We looked over our shoulders as we sat in the front seat to see that our dog was safely buckled into his spot in the back. He thumped his tail against the seat, and shifted his weight excitedly from paw to paw. He was ready to go, and so were we. We had clothes and food and books and everything we needed to hide away for a bit at the cabin. So we turned back toward the road and set out. The roads were clear and dry. After a week of gray skies and mists and rain, the sun was coming out and the air was warming. As we drove, I looked for and found a few signs of spring. An edge of slightly greener growth around curbs and yards. The first timid shoots of tulips rising in the verge beside the highway. A V of geese pushing through the air high above us. And lower to the ground, shifting translucent clouds of starlings, newly returned after the winter. We listened to an audiobook as we drove the few hours past fields and farmlands to our little hideaway. It was a book we'd promised not to listen to unless we were together, and had been making our way through one chapter at a time for a while. When there was a twist in the plot, a sudden unforeseen trap door sprung open by the author. What fun it was to turn to each other, our eyes wide and our mouths agape, and see our own surprise reflected on the other person's face. It almost made the time pass too quickly. The long drive was wrapping up and we still hadn't figured out who done it. The car trundled down the long dirt drive that ended in front of our cabin, ringed all around by tall pine trees. And we sat in a silent pact in the car, listening until we got to the end of the chapter. "To be continued," I said, as we finally switched it off and opened the doors and let the dog out to run. The air here was so different from the air in the city. There I'd been scouring for signs of spring, but here it was apparent in every breath. There was that woodsy, piney smell of rain-soaked earth and last year's leaves breaking down where they'd piled under the trees. And also the brand new smell of growing grass and fresh wind. We unpacked the car as the dog chased through the cabin and back out into the open woods. We'd brought fresh foods to fill the fridge, but already had a well-stocked pantry here. Beside the sacks of dried beans and packs of pasta were neat rows of home-canned tomatoes, jams, and jellies. I'd had a glut of vegetables from the garden last summer and had made every kind of pickle I could think of. I'd dried the fresh herbs from the pots that had sat on our deck and even gathered, shelled, and dried a few pounds of pecans from our own trees. Soon all was settled inside, and we decided to make the most of the sunshine and head out for a long walk with the dog. In the city, he had to make the most of our small fenced-in yard and stay on his leash when we walked. But here he had acres to run through and walked free beside us along the edge of the woods, sometimes stopping to sniff or trade one stick for another, and then racing to catch back up. We could all be a little freer here. We walked for well over an hour, checking in on some favorite places along the way. There was the spot where the creek turned in a rushing rhythm toward the trees, where we'd built a makeshift bridge of fallen logs and flat rocks. The place where we nearly always saw deer grazing and turkeys walking in that strange prance of theirs, their heads rocking forward and back as they picked their way through the grass. As evening came on, we made our way back to the cabin and stood looking out and down the side of the valley, visible from the deck. There were only a few houses spread out along the hillside, some high and some low. Lights shone from windows far away, and it felt good to know that even though our neighbors and friends were distant, they were there, still there, safe in their homes, reading and chatting and cooking dinner. From a house far up on the hill, we saw a flicker, and then the steady glow of Christmas lights being plugged back in. Why not? They lined the peak of the roof and wrapped around a few of the neighboring trees. We both laughed as the lights came on and slid our arms around one another's shoulders in the twilight. The cool air was chasing us in, and I was looking forward to a good hot dinner and listening to the next chapter of our book. We'd brought up packets of seeds to start and made plans to make the garden bigger while we cooked. We had plenty of space to fill, and now that I was an old hand at canning, I thought we may as well grow as much as we could. We'd can what we couldn't eat and share the rest with our neighbors on the hill. There would be projects in the coming days. Starting seeds, turning over dirt, and making more vegetable beds. We'd take long walks and throw sticks for the dog to fetch. We'd try new recipes for dinner and stay late in bed in the mornings, sipping coffee and listening to our book. We'd find a few boxes of Christmas lights in the closet and string them up around the doors and windows to shine for our neighbors to see in the darkness. We'd write on the calendar the signs of the changing season and keep track of rainfall and sunny days. We'd take care of each other and do our best for each other, because that never stops being important.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles ready for next day installation and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.
This is it, your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cb for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Spring at the allotment. When I'd first seen the flyer, snow was still on the ground. I'd been coming out of my neighborhood market, a bag of groceries in my arms, and seen it pinned to a bulletin board. Community garden, plots available. It was decorated with someone's hand-drawn flowers and baskets of vegetables. I stood for a bit, booted, mittened, zipped into my heavy coat and wrapped in a scarf and hat, and dreamed about green things and blue skies. I'd reached out with my clumsy mitten and pulled off a scrap from the flyer with a phone number and fumbled it into my pocket. A few days later, when a friend was sitting at my kitchen table for a cup of coffee, I pulled it out and we'd made a plan. We, each of us, had a few hand-me-down garden tools and just a little bit of experience, but we also had a deep yen for becoming successful gardeners. And we figured our zeal would fill in the gaps of our knowledge. We divvied up the work. She'd go to the library and get us a few books on what was best to grow in our first year in this part of the world. And I'd have a long talk with my green-thumbed grandfather and borrow his almanac and seed catalogs. We'd both root around for gloves and rakes, spades and shears and loppers. Soon we had a stack of books with torn-out magazine articles folded into the pages, charts of what was going where and when, and a dusty basket of the tools we'd need to make it happen. We had mud boots and packets of seeds and a clear, sunny Saturday to begin our garden. We planned to meet at the allotment in the mid-morning and start to turn over the soil. The day was bright and warming, and stepping out of the car, I could smell the clean scent of freshly tilled earth. We found our plot, sketched out in the soil with stakes and string, shook hands with the neighbors, tucked our hair into bandanas, and got to work. The soil was tilled and soft, but still needed to be evened out, and we broke up clumps of dirt with hands and hoes. We consulted our charts and walked off the sections. Here we'd plant the herbs, basil and oregano, lavender and rosemary, sage and thyme. Here we'd plant the runner beans and green beans. Here rows of lettuce, here tomato plants. In the back row we'd have a line of sweet corn. A section of zucchini, a few broccoli plants, cabbage, cucumbers, and a small section of potatoes. We weren't sure about the potatoes. They seemed tricky, but we'd done our reading and we had a container of cut seed potatoes ready to go in. Growing anything, I supposed, was a gamble, an act of faith, that rain would come, that sun would shine, that the natural processes buried in the cells of our seeds and seedlings would activate and pullulate. It seemed worth the gamble, meriting the faith to try. So we dug trenches, spaced our seeds and plants, and carefully patted the earth down around them. By the time the sun was high above us, we'd shed our jackets and our faces were smudged with dirt. I stood to stretch my back and saw my friend, her hands on her hips, looking at the work we'd done. "Ready for a break?" I called out. "Yes, please," she said, stepping carefully through the rows to wash her hands at the spigot. I'd packed us a basket for lunch, and we carried it over to a picnic table and opened it up. I had a thermos of Earl Grey tea, still hot and a little sweet, and I'd made a mess of sandwiches, thick slices of sourdough spread with spicy mustard and a tasty mix I'd made of mashed garbanzos, soft avocado, diced cucumbers and pickles, tahini and a bit of dill and lemon, plenty of salt and pepper. I'd layered it on bread with sprouts and tomato slices and wrapped them in tea towels. I had a few apples for us and a whole batch of my date bars, topped with a cardamom crumble, tucked in wax paper in an old cookie tin. It was more than we could eat, but I'd planned to use the extra to make some friends. In fact, a few minutes after we'd spread out lunch, the family from the next plot over sat down to share our table. They unpacked their own basket, and we chatted about our seeds as we ate. They had two little boys who ran around in the sun, coming back to the table for a moment or two, to take a bite out of a sandwich or a piece of fruit, and then chase back to play. They'd been planting in the garden for years and promised to offer advice as the season progressed. They poured us some of their lemonade and happily took some date bars, and then we all got back to work. By the time we were done and gathering up our tools, our little plot was a tidy patch of neat rows. Careful mounds protecting seeds that would sprout soon, and evenly spaced plants that would eventually need cages and stakes and strings to hold them up by the end of the summer. We stood and proudly admired what we'd done. "We'll have vegetables coming out of our ears in a few months," she said. "I guess we'd better learn how to can," I laughed. The next great adventure. Thank you for taking a walk with me through the village of nothing much. I wish for you this week many happy discoveries of small interesting things, a feeling of safety, and happy delicious meals.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles ready for next day installation and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.